It's Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, adventure. Later on, we hear the adventures of Christopher London with movie actor Glenn Ford. But right now, it's Olan Soule and Barbara Luddy, starring in the First Nighter program in an adventure story called Drink for the Damned. This first heard on February 5th, 1948 on CBS.
Campana's First Nighter program. From the Little Theater off Times Square. Starring Barbara Luddy and Olan Soule with an all-star cast presented by Campana, the quality name in cosmetics. It's theater time on the Great White Way, and once again you're invited to attend Theaterland's most colorful and exciting occasion, an opening night at the Little Theater off Times Square. So here's your host for the evening, the genial First Nighter.
Good evening and welcome. I understand that the curtain is going up promptly tonight, so I suggest that we leave for the theater right away. Here's my cab. Won't you step in? All right, driver, to the Little Theater. Up Broadway and across 42nd Street. And here we're in the center of the world's greatest theater district. And there, just ahead, is the Little Theater off Times Square. Well, here we are.
Now, look at that beauty by the camera. Could it be Claudette Colbert?
That girl with the Navy captain looks like the president's daughter.
Have your tickets ready, please. Have your tickets ready, please.
Good evening, Mr. First Nighter. The usher will show you to your seats.
Thank you. We'll go right in. Well, there's a big crowd here tonight, every seat taken. There's Frank Worth and the famous First Nighter Orchestra in the pit. And we've just time, I see, for a quick glance at the program. Tonight's play is entitled Drink for the Damned, an original drama by Irvin Ashkenazy, co-starring Barbara Luddy and Olan Soule. Miss Luddy is cast as Kathy, a lady of noble birth in the time of King James II. Mr. Soule plays the role of Peter Brant, who's been accused with the Duke of Monmouth of having plotted rebellion against the crown. And what an all-star supporting cast. Marvin Miller as the suave Philip Delroy. Polly Bear as Dickon, Peter's servant. Willard Waterman as Corby, a brutal sea captain. And Arthur Q. Bryan. But there's just a brief moment now before first curtain.
Curtain, first curtain.
There's the signal for first curtain. The house lights are out, and here's the play.
Blimey, look at him. Lying abed in his cell like he were a prince of the blood instead of a rebel against King James. God bless him.
Well, what do you want, you greasy tallow catch?
Hey, take your ease, Master Brant. Nurse your fine airs. You'll have pleasant dreams of this prison once you're a slave in Jamaica.
Then I suppose it's time to go aboard the prison ship.
not yet, but soon enough. Stow your chains. You have a visitor. This way, mistress.
Who is it?
Hear me, lady. His lordship awaits you.
Catherine.
I'll cage you two lovebirds for the nonce.
Why are you here? You shouldn't have come. Oh, Catherine.
I couldn't let them send you away without my seeing you. Peter, my darling.
So you bribed the jailer, Kathy?
Yes.
Oh, you do love me, don't you? Even after what's been said.
Did you think those lies would change me? I know you're innocent. You never plotted with Monmouth against the king.
The jury convicted me.
Peter, I'll get your freedom. I'll move heaven and earth to find you justice.
Justice? Where? In King James Court?
But the king himself doesn't know. When I petition him, he'll revoke your sentence, Peter.
And suppose I were proved innocent in plotting with that fool Monmouth? Would that restore my rank in the king's navy? Or mend my lost fortunes? No, Kathy. The man you'd marry would be a ruined beggar.
We'll find other fortunes, Peter. I'll wait for you forever if I must. But you're going to be pardoned. Philip Delroy is working with me. He's using every influence to have your case reheard.
Philip Delroy, eh? He's promised to help you secure me a pardon?
Oh, he is your friend, Peter. You've wronged him thinking he wasn't.
It's never seemed to me that my misfortunes caused him grief.
Oh, Peter, don't.
And the way he eyes you.
Please, you're unjust to him.
If only I knew who laid that false charge against me. If I could learn what blackguard forged those letters, I'd kill him if I burned for it.
You there! Would you like a cat of nines across your back? Oh!
Are they coming? So soon? Oh, darling, I'll be working for you, praying for you, loving you. It can't end like this. We've been so happy.
We have been happy, you and I, since we were children sailing ships together. Do you remember the day we sailed aboard my ketch off Dover? And the sun set and the wind died down and the tide ran out.
Yes.
And we had to wait 6 hours for the tide to change.
What? Hardly now.
Remember how the moon came up and a million stars? And I swore that someday I'd sail the seven seas and bring back the treasure of Spain to place at your feet.
I remember. Oh.
You believed me, Cat.
I still believe you, my darling. You'll come back and I'll be waiting for you.
Oh, if you wait for that one, mistress, you'll die on wed, I'll warrant you. There's an ocean voyage in store for you, me fine gamecock. Come on, get along there.
Kathy.
Oh, my dear.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Kathy.
What? Come on. Get along.
Dickon, are you still prowling about? Be off to bed.
I'm begging you leave, Captain Grant. I can't sleep when I hear you pacing the floor. I know full well the thing that's crying inside you.
Yeah, you're a mad rogue.
Not so mad, Captain. I told the cutter your sail that first day when we lay off Plymouth in the prison ship. 200 of us chained together below decks. Will you ever forget that smell? And you told me about your home and your sweetheart and how Master Delroy was going to get your pardon.
Ha! That Runyon.
Him that lied at your trial and got you sent to convict labor on his lands in Jamaica and then married Mistress Catherine.
Oh, stop plaguing me, Dickon. What are you trying to do?
Help you to set your course aright, Captain. 3 years it's been since we escaped.
Aye. 3 years since we captured that brig in Port Royal Harbor and made off with her. And what were we? Escaped slaves, outlaws in our own land and outcasts in any other. Buccaneers, pirates, raiding on Spanish treasure ships.
But free men. Captain and mate, sailing the Spanish main. Free.
We're free now, you senile pantaloon.
Free? Oh, we've spent a year marooned in this moldy oval in this Jamaica jungle. Is this the life for a sailor man? When a king's ransom and Spanish treasure lies waiting for us where we buried it? Let's go get our gold and sail back to England.
Go back to England if you want and be hanged to you.
You know I can't. Not alone. Not without you.
Mark, someone at the door.
So I hear. Can you see who it is through the lattice?
Eh? Two men and a coach.
Shall I answer the door?
No, I'll go. Fetch some wine, Dickon.
Aye.
Step lively and don't break your scrawny neck. Come in, gentlemen. Do you come from Port Royal or... Delroy.
Aye, Peter. My ship hove into Port Royal Harbor 3 days ago. I'd heard you were hereabouts.
And devil a job we've had finding our way out here.
Oh, this is my ship's master, Captain Corby, Peter.
I have heard of Captain Corby.
Have you now?
We've heard of you, Peter. You've grown famous here. Your exploits as a privateer have resounded across England.
Come to the point, Delroy. It's only because Catherine saw fit to marry her that I don't kill you where you stand.
Oh, come, Peter. Spill the wind from your sails. I've come to make you an offer.
Aye, a fine offer, mate.
Your insolence is magnificent. You, who bore false witness against me in the courts, who swore away my life, you dare come here to dicker with me.
I thought only that I was doing my duty. On my honor.
Your honor.
I swear I had no wish to see you condemned.
And you bring with you this cutthroat Corby, who's killed and robbed and cheated from here to Bengal.
Egad, that's enough, Brad.
I mind your tongue. These pistols are loaded and double-shotted.
Well, speak up. What do you want?
I come to you as a friend to ask your aid for Catherine's sake.
Catherine?
Does that surprise you? She's with me aboard ship in Port Royal. You see, Peter, things haven't gone well with us since our marriage. I spent all I had left for this frigate.
And came here To ask me...
To help you recover the gold you took from those six Spanish galleys you burned off Barbados.
When you surrendered to Jamaica, there was scarce an halfpenny in your strongbox. You've hid the gold somewhere.
And you need help to recover it, Peter. You've no ship now, no friends you can trust. I offer you my ship and friends by the score. Will you join us?
You incredible swine. I'll see you burning first.
Who's that?
My servant.
The port's all gone. So
have your pistol ready, Corby. Stand where you are.
Aye.
Don't move, Dickon.
All right. Come out of the shadow of that doorway.
Do as he says, Dickon.
Come this way. Into the light. Come into the light.
Captain, where are you?
Here, Dickon. Our voice is confusing. He can't...
This way, you fool! Into the light!
You dog... You shot him.
Easy, Bryant. Stand back.
You'll hang for this. Both of you, you'll hang.
Why didn't he do as he was told? Why didn't he come into the light?
Because he was blind. Stone blind.
Don't move, Bryant. Stand back, I say.
Stop me. I'll have you if I... You cowards.
Freshening, Corby.
Aye, Master DeRoy. There's no ship in Port Royal's can catch us now. How's Brandt? Any sign of life yet?
No. Look at him, you'd think he was dead. But his scalp's just grazed.
Yeah, why, he bled in the coach on our way to Port Royal. I thought you'd scuttled him.
He may wish I had before we're through. He's down in my cabin with shackles on his leg. I'm on my way below.
Aye. Master DeRoy.
Yes?
Does your lady know Brent's aboard?
Not yet. Why?
I was just wondering.
Don't concern yourself, Corby. That part of it is my private affair, and don't forget it. Catherine, I told you to stay in your cabin. Why have you come here? To sigh over that shackled clod on the floor? Go back to your cabin at once. Did you hear me?
I heard you. You murderer.
Oh, Catherine, listen to
me. I knew you had Peter Brown aboard. I know what you've done. My husband.
What of it? I warn you, mistress, you'll not cross me in this. It's the difference between life and death for me. Do you think I'll go back to England penniless and discredited?
Will murder repair your fortune?
No, we'll not kill the man.
I'm not so deaf that I couldn't hear Corby roaring out your plans. I heard everything.
So you're not above eavesdropping, milady? Well, why shouldn't I kill him? He's no more than a pirate. Egad, he'll plague me no longer. Ever since our marriage, he stood between us like a ghost at a banquet.
You think his murder will kindle my love?
No, you don't understand. Catherine, look at me. All this I've done for your sake.
My sake?
To provide for you so that you'll never know the pinch of want. I tell you, my condition's desperate.
So for my sake, you turn thief and murderer.
Rip me, no thief ever played for stakes as high as these. His treasure means millions for us, Kathy. Millions.
I see. Kill a man for a pound and you're a common hangdog. Kill him for a million and you're a hero. A fine distinction.
Very real distinction, my dear. But I appreciate your concern. And I love you enough to yield a point. Once we've his treasure, I'll release Brant to go his way.
You promise that, Philip?
I give you my word. On condition you stop mooning over the fellow. Why are you tearing your gown?
To dress his wound. Fetch some hot water, Philip, quickly.
First, your promise, milady. If I do spare him, will you...
Can't you see? He's dying. Hurry, Philip, please.
Very well.
Oh, Peter.
Kathy.
Oh.
You're good to me.
Peter. Oh, Peter, don't move. Is there pain?
No.
Do you know where you are?
I've been conscious a long time.
Oh. Then you heard.
I'm sorry for you, mistress.
It's you we must think about now. I'll get you out of this somehow. I'll help you to escape.
With this weight chained to my leg?
Listen to me. Play for time. Keep them sailing from place to place. They'll kill you the moment they get what they want.
I dare say that's true.
How do you feel?
Tired.
You lost a lot of blood. Here, let me put this pillow under your head.
Kathy.
Yes.
Why did you marry him?
They said you were dead. I didn't believe it at first. I felt that someday, somehow, you'd come back to me. I waited. I prayed for it. Finally, I stopped waiting. I married Philip. Afterward, I learned it was his false evidence that convicted you. I've hated him ever since.
Oh, Kathy.
Then I heard about your escape, your exploits. Why didn't you come home when King William pardoned you?
There was little point.
Oh, Peter, I've hurt you so terribly.
No. No, it wasn't your fault or mine.
Peter, play your hand slowly. Don't tell them where the treasure is. Force them to sail about weeks if you must. We may meet another ship.
And then?
We might be able to get help. Perhaps you could escape.
A pleasant dream. Ah, let them have the treasure. Let the end come quickly. But you, once you're back in England, run away. Leave him. Go home, Kathy.
I see you found my absence convenient, mistress.
Yeah, scuttle me, he's come to as lively as a bilge rat. Your lady's nursed him to new life, eh, Delroy?
Catherine, go back to your cabin.
But, Philip...
I'm master here. Do as I say. What are you laughing about, Corby?
What? Oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
Well, Brant, you're going to be sensible? Will you join us as a partner? Or will you force us to employ methods of persuasion?
We don't want to be stern with you, my lad.
Delroy, how do you... Or I know that some of my crew haven't already gone back and taken that gold.
Pray that they haven't, Peter.
Oh, every mother's son of them was hanged in the dock when you sailed into Jamaica on promise of the king's pardon. I saw them there, all hanging in a row like a string of onions.
Not all. One of them, my first mate, escaped.
I'll hazard the gamble. And if I'm willing to chance the voyage, it's nothing out of your pocket, is it?
So you offer me a full partnership.
Share and share alike.
I have your word on that.
Word? Stab me, I'll give you my oath. As an officer and a gentleman.
Your oath. All right. Take off this blasted chain, you double-dealing cutthroat. Take it off, and I'll show you such riches as you've never dreamed this side of purgatory.
Out to try me when I was too young. I've dozens of sweethearts from here to Hong Kong. But my true love's in Dover. That's where I belong. 5 fathoms! Show in!
5 fathoms! Show in!
Whitewater, did it! Whitewater, did it!
Bring her about!
Out of port! Out of port, you swamp!
There's your island, Corby.
He's bluffing!
Heave to! Heave to!
Hold away! Hold away! She cries!
The lazy rogues, can't they row faster? The sun's cursed hot.
Hey, you won't melt, Master Delroy.
How barren the island is, and how lonely.
Lonely? You looked astern. The whole crew's following us like a school of sharks after a struck whale. We've more company than we have need for.
Yeah, they'd mutiny if we tried to keep them from following.
I'd plan to give every man his share, but to have them snuffing at my heels. Look at them. Not one man left to guard ship. Give them a hint of loot and discipline goes to the devil.
I'd recommend you hold fast. We're about to land.
I recommend there'd better be treasure yonder, Brant, me lad. There's nothing there. If you've brought me here on a fool's errand...
Or fast! Here we come!
Still certain the treasure's here, Brant?
I told you once, and I don't lie. I'm certain.
You'd better be.
There's 6 feet down already and not a sign.
What do you say to that, Brant?
Not deep enough.
Tell them to keep digging, Corby.
Oh, they'll dig for a little while.
Brant, if this is a game of yours...
Save your mouthing, you barbary ape.
Save the chest! The gold!
There.
There
it is. You can swing me a tail on it.
Come here, we've struck it.
Congratulations, Brandt. You've something to live for now.
Peter, come here, please.
Eh?
I have something for you.
What?
Come over here, behind that sand dune. They're opening the chest.
Don't look. Kathy, what are you...
Here.
Oh, a pistol, eh?
And a powder horn and bullet pouch. Take them, Peter, and quickly and listen. If they kill you, they'll kill me, too. I want to stay here with you.
Sit down, Kathy. I'll spread my cloak. Here.
Peter, they found wine in that chest.
Don't let them see you.
It's a desperate chance, but I won't live without you. I can't, Peter.
Kathy... Will you just sit down beside me, Kathy?
I'll fight beside you. But I think he means to kill us both.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Brandt!
Be careful.
Here, Brandt, you hangdog, where are you? Oh, there you are. And with Delroy's women, too. Yeah, have a drink.
Be gone, you lout, my
boy. Now, no harm done, my lord. You mad rogue. Why'd you bury wine with a gold, huh? Did you think to set up a tavern out here?
Why not? There's confounded little competition.
It is Spanish sack. Rare wine, Brandt, rare.
It's the choicest vintage in the Spanish fleet. I put that wine with the gold to wait for me. I was saving it for my return.
Your return? And bless me if it isn't here whiting for you. Right here, I'll whiten.
Peter, it will be dark soon.
Soon.
Peter, look over the top of the dune. They're all asleep.
So?
Sprawled on the sand like drunken swine. Peter, now's your chance, don't you see?
What?
Peter, in heaven's name, what's wrong with you?
The last of that sunset, Kathy. It's worth watching. It's almost as beautiful as the one we saw together that day off Dover, when the tide ran out... And we lay anchored and planned our future. Remember?
Don't you understand? You've a chance to escape. You can even kill them. Every one while they're asleep. Peter, look at me.
Yes.
What are you thinking?
I was thinking that I promised once to put down all the treasure of Spain at your feet. I was wondering if we could sail that great ship back to Jamaica. Just you and I.
Peter, is that your plan? Escape? Then don't sit here dreaming. Hurry. They won't sleep forever.
Ah, but they will. They will.
What? What are you saying?
Before we buried those chests of gold, Dickon, who was my first mate, buried bottles of rare Spanish wine in every chest for the refreshment of anyone who might discover it before we returned.
Yes, but...
The wine was poisoned. Delroy and his jackals will sleep till Judgment Day. And now, beloved... It's time to go. Take my hand. Let me help you up. We have a long voyage ahead of us, you and I.
And there we are, ladies and gentlemen. The curtain is down on a brilliant opening night performance in the little theater off Times Square. It's part of the delay and the all-star cast in front of the footlights acknowledging the applause. Next week, you're invited most cordially to join us again for another exciting evening in the theater. The play, Love is Stranger Than Fiction. If you want to relax and laugh, be sure to tune in next week at the same time. And in the meantime, ladies, ask for Magic Touch. You'll never know how pretty you can be until you try Magic Touch. And now we move out of the theater and into the street.
Your cab, Mr. First Nighter.
Thank you. Good night.
The First Nighter program on Tuned to Yesterday from February 5th, 1948 on CBS. It's an hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now a movie star well known for his Western motion pictures, along with some noir work like 1953's The Big Heat and 1946's Gilda, where he starred alongside Rita Hayworth. It's Glenn Ford in The Adventures of Christopher London. Broadcast on NBC from January through April of 1950. This episode from February 26th of that year, called The Price of Sugar.
With a knife in his back, a nameless Filipino in San Francisco. With a bullet in her body, a girl in mid-Pacific. But there were others. There were so many others. 8,000 of them on an island in the Philippines.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Christopher London, created especially for radio by the world's foremost mystery writer, Earl Stanley Gardner. Produced and directed by William N. Robeson. And starring Mr. Glenn Ford.
I am Christopher London. The whole thing started with a vague conversation about the murder of an unknown Filipino. Mr. Anders, president of the San Francisco Sugar Company, either could not or would not say what, if anything, he suspected.
I'm sorry, Mr. London. I can't tell you what I think because I don't know what I think.
I get the impression that it's not the murder that worries you.
Why should it? I never saw the man. I had no idea who he was or why he tried to get to me. A knife in his back, the doctors wonder how he ever made it to my door.
A knife in his back with your name and address in his pocket. And his body terribly scarred as if he'd been beaten for years.
Yes, it's all very mysterious. Yeah. But the police are investigating. I suppose they'll learn the truth in time. That's not what I wanted to see you about.
Well, what else, then?
The price of sugar.
The price of sugar?
Exactly. Now, this is all I can tell you.
Uncle Ted, I wonder
Oh,
if
come
I...
in, dear.
Oh.
Yeah, this is Christopher London, my niece Linda.
Oh, I've heard about you, Mr. London.
Well, now, whatever you've heard, I deny every word of it.
Is Mr. London sailing with me, Uncle Ted?
Maybe on the same ship would be a better way to put it. Yes, my dear, I want him to go to Manila.
Oh, then you'd better go, Mr. London. Whether you want to or not, you're as good as aboard ship already.
Well, I'd better get ashore, Mr. London.
Well, there's still a few minutes.
Yeah, I suppose. How do you like the stateroom?
Oh, it's very elegant.
Good. Now, is there anything else you want to know?
You want me to find out how a company named Southern Cross is able to go on underselling your product. And that's all?
That's all. Frankly, Mr.
Frankly, Mr. Anders, I don't get the reason for all this outlay of money here, this stateroom.
Don't you? Maybe it's because if you don't come back, I'd like to think you died in luxury.
All ashore, let's go on ashore.
Well,
all
London, bon voyage. Linda will be waiting for me at the gangway. Keep an eye on her, will you? And look out for yourself, too.
The ship was beautiful. The night was dark and the sea was calm. Hawaii was a long way beyond the horizon, and Manila and the Philippines still farther. The girl beside me at the rail was very, very lovely. She sighed rather happily and said...
My uncle said you'd probably ask me a lot of questions.
Well, did he, Miss Anders?
Well, won't Linda do?
Linda?
Christopher?
Now that we've got that settled, let's get back to the questions your uncle said I would ask. Did he say what they'd be?
Not exactly.
Uh-huh. Well, did he say what your answers would be?
Not exactly.
Yes.
Shall we walk around the deck?
We walked once around the deck, and then we went into the cocktail lounge and had a coffee and brandy at a little table in a quiet corner.
You know, Christopher, I think this is going to be a good voyage.
Well, I hope it is. Have you ever been out to Manila before?
Oh, lots of times. I've gone with my uncle every time he went, ever since I can remember. My parents died when I was a baby, if that explains anything.
It does, a little. I suppose you know a lot about your uncle's business, then.
That's one of the questions he said you'd ask me.
And the answer?
The answer is yes. I think I know as much about his business as he does.
You're a very interesting girl, Linda.
You know, that's what I always say. I always say, Linda, you're a very interesting girl. Oh, don't look now, but
Howdy,
there's a
boy.
Man coming.
You don't know me and I don't know you, but that ain't no reason why we can't yell at each other over the fence now, is it? I'm Jim Blake from Texas, a Lone Star State. And where I go, I buy the drinks. A waiter.
Coming, sir.
Won't you sit down, Mr. Blake?
Well, I am sitting, thank you, ma'am. My name's Blake.
Yes, that's what I thought you said. One of the New Jersey Blakes, no doubt.
Well, now, you know, that is real funny.
Oh? I'm sorry.
People's always joking me about Texas. What'd you say your name was?
I didn't say. However, it's London. Christopher London.
Well, I'm mighty glad to know you, Chris. What'll you and Mrs. London have?
Fifteen or 20 years later, Linda and I pried ourselves out of the heart of Texas. She said she was tired, so I took her to her stateroom door. Good night, Linda. Sleep well.
Come in for a minute.
What? All right.
Just for a minute. There's something I want to give you. Sit down while I find it. Maria, not finished yet?
No, ma'am, but pretty...
Linda's personal maid, a pretty girl from the islands, was still unpacking trunks. In a moment, Linda returned with a small, decorated jewel case in her hands.
Oh, here it is. Christopher, keep it for me, will you?
Oh, now, look, if this is jewelry, you'd better give it to the purser.
Keep it safe. It's not jewelry.
Well, then, do you mind if I ask just what it...
Well, it... Nothing. It's just that I'd rather you kept it.
All right. Good night, Linda.
Until tomorrow, Christopher.
I took the jewel case back to my stateroom and found that somebody had shoved a note under my door. It read, "Take off that beard, we know you." The writer had a sense of humor. But in my experience, the most dangerous enemies are those that laugh. I took a closer look at the little jewel case. It had one of those intricate Chinese locks that are easy to break, but not easy to open without the proper key. I put the box in a pillowcase and carried it to the office of the ship's doctor.
Now, what can I do for you, Mr. London?
Now, your laboratory is equipped with X-ray, I suppose, Doctor?
Yes, of course.
I know this sounds a little strange, but I wonder if you'd take a picture of this box here, just as it is. It was exactly what I expected. I carried the box back to my stateroom, shoved it under the bunk, and went to bed. I don't know how long I'd been asleep when suddenly there was a knock on the door. I was out of bed like a shot. Just a second. Yes?
Miss Anders, ask if you will come at once.
What? Oh, yes, yes, all right. I'll be there in a minute. I put on a pair of pants and shirt, hurried into the corridor, and collided with...
Look where you're going, can't you? Oh, well, howdy, London.
Yeah, sorry, in a hurry.
Come in, Christopher.
What's the matter?
Well, nothing's the matter. I just couldn't sleep, and I was lonely.
Oh, no. Look, do you realize it's 2 a.m.?
Well, of course, if you'd rather go back to bed.
All right. What do you want to do?
Would you like to play some gin rummy?
No, I wouldn't like to play some gin rummy.
No. Well, men love to talk about themselves. Let's talk about you.
Okay, get the cards. We played a few hands in silence, and then Linda asked...
Christopher.
What?
What did you think of Mr. Blake, the Lone Star Stranger?
You ever been in Texas?
No, why?
Well, I wonder if he has.
You mean you think...
Oh, forget it. Yeah, I've got gin.
Oh.
And now, if you think that I've been away from my cabin long enough, I'm going back.
Away from your cabin long enough? I don't understand.
Well, I just wondered if that precious jewel box of yours would still be there.
Christopher, you don't think somebody's taken it.
Would it make any difference?
You opened it. But you had to break the lock off, didn't you?
Well, what are you talking about?
Because the lock was filled with solder. It couldn't be opened.
Well, I didn't open the case, Linda.
Then why are you so casual about it?
Because it was filled to the top with just what you said was in it. Nothing.
But...
No, I'll save you the trouble of asking. I had the thing X-rayed.
Oh.
Yes, you can say that again.
Oh, forgive me, Christopher. It was just a sort of a trial. My uncle and I wanted to be sure you were clever enough for this job. And you are clever, Christopher. Really clever. You're the only man I ever met who's smarter than I. Christopher?
Hmm?
Would you consider kissing me goodnight?
Yeah, I'll consider it. When I finally got back to my stateroom, the jewel case was no longer under the bed where I'd put it. But I think that as I went to sleep again, I may have had a smile on my face. The days that followed were filled with shuffleboard and the nights were filled with dancing. Jim Blake, the Texas steer, was usually close by, but in time, well, in time he got used to him, as you would a bad head cold. Every night when I turned in, I could expect to find another humorous little message tucked under my door, such as, roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and you'll be a long time dead. Meanwhile, in odd moments with Linda, I managed to get a little more information about sugar growing and refining. One moonlit night, when we were together on the boat deck.
Isn't it magic, darling? Isn't it simply magic? Christopher, I'm talking to you.
What? Oh, I'm sorry.
What are you thinking about?
Oh, sugar, I guess.
Oh.
Now, you say this Southern Cross Company is selling sugar at a price that is actually below your cost.
That's right.
Well, are your costs higher than they should be?
They're as low as any in the industry, and I don't want to talk about it now, darling.
Oh, perhaps they may have developed some new and better method of refining
sugar. Possibly. That's what you're supposed to find out. Christopher.
Hmm?
I'm cold.
A few days after leaving Honolulu on the way to Manila, we entered a bank of thick fog, like a damp, clinging shroud. And it was in the fog that tragedy struck, suddenly and without warning. I was standing at the rail near the stern, looking out at nothing, listening to the foghorn and the beat of the ship's engines, when... Well, I couldn't see a thing. I ran in the direction of the sound. Groping through the fog, I found a white coat flapping emptily, caught in a boat davit. It was Linda's coat. I stood on deck in the swirling fog, holding Linda's coat in my hands and feeling sick at heart. The liner's searchlights were vainly glaring through the mist, but it was useless, and everybody knew it. I started for the radio room to send a message to Anders when a vague figure moved behind me.
Christopher, who was it?
Linda.
What's the matter? And what are you doing with my coat?
Linda.
I told Maria to wear it when I sent her to look for you, and then I... Christopher, was it Maria?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, poor Maria.
An hour or so later, I found Texas Jim Blake in the bar.
Well, howdy, London. Double scotch and soda for my friend here.
Very good, son.
That was right nasty business about Miss Anders' maid, wasn't it? I understand you think you heard a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard a shot.
Real ornery. Who do you think would have wanted to kill that poor girl? If I was in charge of this boat, I'd look for a gun that had been fired lately.
Well, I doubt if you'd find it at the bottom of the ocean.
You think you'd throw it overboard?
Wouldn't you?
Well, now, I suppose I would. That reminds me of a story I heard about a cowpoke back in Texas. Seems he
Mr.
was about...
Blake, do you ever get tired of that accent?
How's that? I just talk the way folks talk in Texas. This ain't no accent, son. That's Texas talk.
Yeah, okay. Oh, by the way, were you in Dallas or Galveston when Maria was shot and pitched over the side?
London, let me ask you a simple question. Why do you care where I was at when that shot was fired? You think I killed her?
Did you?
In Texas...
Yes, what... yes, I know. In Texas, they shoot men for less than that.
You're joking me again, London. Hey, you know, London, I've been thinking. Now, naturally, I know Miss Linda and her uncle is interested in the sugar business in the Philippines, and just as it happens, I got an interest in sugar myself. I'm from stock in a company named the Southern Cross. You ever hear of it?
Southern Cross Sugar? Yeah, sure. Yeah, I've heard of it. They got a plantation of something like 50 square miles on the island of Negros, haven't they?
Yeah, 50 square miles of sugar cane. That's what they tell us poor stockholders. But I'm from Texas, and I don't believe nothing that I don't see. Folks that run this shindig say we can sell more sugar and cheaper than any other company in the world. Well, I got money in this proposition, Chris. Good Texas money, and I'm going to see for myself. You and Miss Linda wouldn't want to come along, would you? Sort of... Look over the plantation with me?
Why, Mr. Blake, I just bet Miss Linda and I would be charmed to look over the Southern Cross plantation with you.
Oh, you're always joking me, London, but I mean that invitation. Seriously.
And I mean it. Seriously.
Well, then that is just wonderful. Tomorrow we'll be in Manila. I got me a boat waiting for me, and they tell me the trip to Negros just ain't nothing. Have another drink.
A little later, I went down to Linda's stateroom to escort her to dinner.
All right, Christopher. I'm ready.
Linda, I've been talking to Jim Blake.
Oh, the Texas steer?
He's not funny. I think he's a killer. Yes, I think he tried to kill you and got Maria instead. Now he wants you and me to visit the Southern Cross Plantation. Says he has Texas money in it.
But why, Christopher? I don't understand. Why would he...
It's either a trap or a showcase. I don't know.
Well, I still don't understand.
Neither do I. Whatever it is, though, you're going to stay in Manila while I take a look at it. There's no point in us both taking a chance. I left Linda in Manila at the local office of her uncle's company. Blake and I went on together to the island of Negros and the huge Southern Cross Plantation. It rained constantly and the growl of distant thunder was almost continuous. The director of the plantation was a suave, expressionless fellow named Juan Ibarra, who used words as if he were translating from another language.
Coming from the southeast by the weather, senores. Very bad storm.
Well, if you haven't been in a Texas storm, you don't know what a storm is really like. What time is it, Cliff?
It's about 4.
Well, now, let me see. We done pretty well for one day's inspection. We've gone through the refinery from top to bottom, saw the loading dock, drove through one of the fields of sugar cane. Well, what do you say we go back to the house and have us a drink?
Yes, I could use one, Blake. While we drove back to the director's house, I asked a few innocent questions. Ibarra?
Si, senor.
Tell me, how many men does it take to do the work on a place this size?
It takes 7,000, maybe.
7,000? Well, that's a lot of men. Where do you keep them?
Where do I keep them?
Yes, I mean, where do they live?
Si. On the plantation. Here they live.
Yes, I know that.
Hey, Cliff, I've been thinking about that refinery. Are you much of an engineer?
Enough to understand a simple process as refining sugar. It seemed like a good plant.
As you say, Senor London, the plant is good, but it is just the same like many others. No difference.
Yes, I suppose so. But I was asking about the workers on the place. Hey, what's that? No, wait a minute. Stop the car. Look, I said stop the car.
No, Senor London. It is not to be wise to interfere.
Well, they're whipping that poor devil to death.
Maybe he deserves it, huh, Ibarra? Well,
nobody could deserve punishment like that.
It is the only thing the bad ones understand, Senor London.
And the subject was dropped. Just like that. A few moments later, Ibarra led Blake and me out in front of the plantation house and drove the Jeep away to the garage. For a moment, we stood together in the rain. He seemed a little subdued.
Yeah, too bad about what we seen back there. I guess they ain't real human, or they're more like animals.
Would you beat a horse or a dog to death?
As a stockholder in this here plantation, I'm going to talk to Ibarra about that. You coming in?
No, you go on ahead. I'll be right with you.
Okay, I sure am soaking. Rain ain't nothing like Texas rain.
There was something ominous about the place. Not just the steady rain or the thunder grumbling in the distance. Not just the cruelty I had glimpsed in the sodden jungle. No, it was something more. It was something worse than I was willing to let myself believe. As I entered the house, I saw that the living room was dark and apparently deserted. But there was a log blazing in the fireplace, so feeling damp and cold, I went and held my hands to its warmth.
Senor London?
What? Oh. Well, hello.
I am Dolores, Senor London.
Hello, Dolores.
I was told you like scotch and soda.
Yes.
I have a drink all ready for you. Here, by the fire. A drink for me, too.
Well, you or somebody seems to think of everything. No, thanks. You're... Mrs. Ibarra, I suppose?
No, senor. I am just Dolores.
Oh.
Is your drink as you would have it?
Yes, just right, Dolores.
Senor?
Yes, Dolores. Just right.
You to be the same, like other friends of the Peaky Bar. But you are different. so very different.
Save it. I suppose you were told to get me to talk. Another time, it might be kind of pleasant to play that game. But not tonight. I'm
tired. Senor.
There's something I want to ask you, even though I don't expect an answer. If I asked you to come away with me, away from this plantation, right now, tonight, would they let us go?
I do not know.
That's the answer I expected. Well, I'm going to change her to some dry clothes. How long she'd been standing there in the doorway, I don't know. I hadn't heard a sound, but as I turned away from Dolores and started to my room...
Hello, Christopher.
Linda, I told you not to come.
Aren't you glad to see me?
Now, Linda, I wasn't hired to be your companion or your bodyguard. Now, I was hired to make one single investigation.
Yes, how's the investigation going this week?
Well, your uncle wants to know how Southern Cross is able to undersell him. I think I'm beginning to understand.
Christopher, I got a wire in Manila from my uncle. He's making some kind of a deal. He wants you to drop the whole thing.
And that was that. I was just to drop the whole thing. But the whole thing was something I couldn't drop. Too much blood had been shed. Late that night, when the others were asleep, I stole out of the house. The center of the storm had veered around to the east and seemed somewhat nearer. By the flashes of lightning, I found the road I was looking for, the road Ibarra had avoided during our tour of inspection. The path wound through the jungle for perhaps a quarter of a mile and then came to what was unmistakably a concentration camp. The miserable collection of shelters was completely surrounded by a high stockade of steel and barbed wire. The single gate was guarded by a sentry with a Tommy gun. One look was enough. Now I knew the secret of the Southern Cross's success. Forced labor. Slavery. I returned to the house and cautiously opened the door.
Well, howdy, Chris. Been out walking, have you? Take his gun, Bar.
It will be better you do not move, Senor Lama. Gracias.
Christopher, I told you to drop the whole thing. Now see what you've done. You've ruined everything.
It's late, but I guess we don't feel much like sleeping now, do we? So let's just sit down in front of the fire and swap yarn.
Isn't one of the mob missing? Where's Dolores?
We don't need her for this little party. Come here, baby. Come here and sit down beside me.
All right, Chief.
Now if we're all together, I'll call the meeting to order.
What happened to that Texas draw, partner?
I guess I'm just a big ham at heart, but it serves a purpose. With that twang, you can talk to anybody and get away with practically anything.
Christopher saw it. The night we sailed.
Yeah, London's smart. He's a lot too smart for his own good. I kept telling him that on those notes I left for him under his cabin door.
Look, will I be interrupting if I ask a few questions?
No, go ahead.
Well, first about me. I assume you have some kind of plan in mind?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
If only you'd listen to me, Christopher, before it was too late.
This talk avails us nothing. Why can we not dispose of Senor London without delay further?
Take it easy. There's no hurry. Yeah. Anything else you want to know, London?
I think I already know most of it. I suppose the Filipino who was killed in San Francisco came from here.
Yes, that's right. Managed to sneak off the place somehow.
I see.
Naturally, I had to kill him.
That was close.
Yeah, baby.
I hate these storms.
Well, I didn't know you scared so easily, Linda. Oh, by the way, was it you who killed your maid, Maria?
Well, I had to, Christopher. She caught Jim and me together, and guess how it was? She said she was going to tell you, so I had to.
You know, Linda, for a nice girl, you're something out of a nightmare.
Christopher, you shouldn't talk to me like that. After all, it wasn't as if...
That hit the house. Listen.
It is Dolores. I will go.
There was a split second of confusion, but a split second can be the difference between life and death. I threw myself at Blake, slamming my shoulder into his chest, and we crashed to the floor. I got out of there with a broken left arm and a revolver. I don't know whether it was Blake's or Ibarra's. I don't know how much damage I did, but at least there was nobody following me as I retraced the road to the slave stockade. A sentry was standing at the gate holding a Tommy gun cradled in his arm. I got as close to him as I could, sheltered by the trunk of a huge mahogany tree, less than 15 feet from the gate. And then he heard me.
Halt! Who goes there?
Now listen to me very carefully. I'm giving you a chance to save your life. Drop your gun and open that gate.
Who are you?
A friend. Open the gate and let those men out. And I'll give you one more chance. I don't want to hurt you. Now let those men out. Well, if that's the way it's got to be...
Dead too?
Yes, Mr. Anders. With the others. When the men streamed out of the stockade, there was no stopping them. But she died instantly with a bullet through her heart.
What she did sounds as impossible as all the rest of it. Then, actual slavery sounds impossible too.
Have you any idea how much actual slavery still exists in the world today? It's not a comforting thought, but one we can't afford not to think about. Freedom is still something to fight for.
That was Christopher London, starring Glenn Ford.
The Adventures of Christopher London on Tuned to Yesterday, starring Glenn Ford, from February 26th, 1950 on NBC. And that wraps this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.